everyone. Welcome to Studio Classroom on the Air. This is the place to come when you want to have some fun. My name is Rebecca, and I know that your English will improve today. Well, we're going to continue our lesson from yesterday about the Happy Prince. We learned that this story is about friendship and sacrifice. So, if you value friendship, this story may be a very good choice for you. Well, today's lesson is called The Happy Prince. And today we're going to learn about the author, and we're also going to learn about plays, poems, and a novel. Now, what is that all about? Well, I guess you're just going to have to find out. So, open your magazines, and let's get started.
The Happy Prince. Oscar Wilde is one of the English language's most famous and flexible writers. His writing is particularly known for its clever wording and sharp wit. During his life, he wrote plays, poems, a novel, and many other things. He also wrote 9 fairy tales. The Happy Prince is probably the best known of these. For non-native English speakers, The Happy Prince is one of Wilde's most accessible works. It is short, clear, and interesting.
Hi everyone, welcome to Language Lab. 首先我们看的是 flexible 这个形容词。FLEX 这个字根有弯曲的意思，所以 flexible 是只有弹性的或者是可弯曲的。例如 gymnasts need to be strong and flexible， 体操选手必须非常强壮而且要有弹性。Flexible 在课文中是指灵活的或者是容易变通的。例如 Alex is a flexible teacher who knows how to adapt his teaching style to the needs of his students。Alex 是一位非常懂得变通的老师，他会配合学生的需要来改变他的教学方式。他的名词是 flexibility， 例如 Mike enjoys the flexibility of his freelance job。Mike 非常喜欢自己自由撰稿人工作上的弹性。接下来我们看 accessible 这个形容词 ，CESS 这个字根有前进的意思，所以 accessible 原本是指容易进入的或者是容易到达的。但是在今天的课文中 ，accessible 是指容易懂的或者是容易理解的。例如 ，the play succeeded in making Chinese literature more accessible to the public。这出戏剧成功的让大众更容易理解中国文学。它的名词是 accessibility。例如 ，the World Wide Web has increased the accessibility of information to ordinary people。全球资讯网络增加了普通老百姓获得资讯的机会。
Telling you, you need to start reading Oscar Wilde.
Wait, this is the picture of Dorian Gray. Oh, well, thank you so much, Gabe. I'm glad that you gave me this book. I hope it's a quick read, so I'll get through it quickly.
Well, it's not a quick read, so I'll lend it to you, and you can take your time, because it's...the one novel that Oscar Wilde wrote, so it's a little longer than just a short story.
Well, you know something, Gabe? I don't know what I would do without you giving me this book. Thank you, because I feel like I'm going to finally be a little bit more educated.
At least about Oscar Wilde.
Right. Friends, we are continuing our lesson from yesterday about Oscar Wilde. Well, The Happy Prince.And in this section, we do learn a little bit more about the author. We read, Oscar Wilde is one of the English language's most famous and flexible writers. That's kind of cool. A flexible writer.
Yeah, does that mean that he's really good at gymnastics and he can, like, bend over backwards
and put his hands
between his legs from the back?
Gabe, hold on for just a moment. I don't believe that's what flexible means in this lesson.
Well, then why didn't our author just use the word versatile? Because it seems like that's the idea that he's getting at.
Hey, I like that word versatile, so let's talk about it. And I agree that Oscar Wilde is probably a very versatile writer. That just means that he's able to easily change from one activity to another, and it's used for different purposes. He's able to do a lot of different things. His writing is very creative.
That's right. And this is a very useful word. In fact, Rebecca and I, when we are preparing our lessons and we're choosing words and phrases, we often even use this word. We say, let's choose words or phrases that are very versatile, that can open themselves up to a lot of different uses, okay? A lot of different ways that you can use them. So are you a versatile person? Maybe someone is a singer and they're a versatile singer. They can sing in a lot of different styles. That would be a versatile singer.
And I would say that Oscar Wilde is a very versatile writer. His writing was particularly known for its clever wording and sharp wit. Let's take a look at these words, sharp wit. This just means that someone has the ability to use words in a very funny way, very clever way.
Yeah, he has so many quotes. Let me just read you one.
That would be great.
Which I think is kind of funny. Okay, all women become like their mothers. That is their tragedy. No man does, and that is his. What do you think about that, Rebecca? Is that true?
So every woman becomes like their mother?
And that's a bad thing. But no man becomes like his mother, and that's a bad thing. So I mean, it's kind of funny. Because it makes you think about life.
Funny.
Is that actually true? In some cases or some ways, it is. But there's often at least a little bit of truth to what he is saying, even though he's writing for the purpose of being humorous.
Got it. Well, it is pretty humorous, and that's an example of some of his sharp wit. During his life, he wrote plays, poems, and a novel, and among other things. Interesting. He also wrote 9 fairy tales. The Happy Prince is probably the best known of these, and right here in my hand
is
the novel he wrote.
Exactly. The Picture of Dorian Gray, a great novel. We read on here, for non-native English speakers, The Happy Prince is one of Wilde's most accessible works. Okay, so let's talk about that phrase, a native speaker. So we're talking about non-native English speakers here. That is most of you who are watching or listening, right? But Rebecca and I are native English speakers.
Right. So let's take a look at these words, a native speaker. Now, a native speaker is just someone who speaks a language, or their mother tongue is the language that they're speaking in the country that they're living. For example, here in Taiwan, Chinese is people's mother language, right? Or Taiwanese.
Sure.
You might say. Mm-hmm. And I am a non-native Chinese speaker.
Yeah. And even though I grew up in Taiwan, I would say that I'm also a non-native Chinese speaker. It's not my first language. I do have a friend, Mark, who has never been overseas to study English, but his English is really good. We would say it's almost like a native speaker's English. He sounds almost like a native speaker.
And now my roommate, on the other hand, she's Taiwanese, and so Chinese is her, she's a native Chinese speaker.
Well, speaking of languages, Do you know what a living language is?
I'm so glad you asked, Gabe, because we need to learn more about that in the
InfoCloud.
Hello, friends. Welcome to InfoCloud. Language is a fascinating subject, and I'm glad you have joined us today as we talk about English as a living language.
Things that are living tends to change over time, and the English language is no different. The changes that occur in a language over time helps to keep things interesting.
But these changes can also make it difficult to learn, and it's not just English that experiences these changes. All languages change, and phrases that were once common may no longer be understood by the majority of people.
If we look at English, we can see this very clearly in the writings of Shakespeare. Most people today don't speak or write this way, to the point that native English speakers have to study his plays in school in order to understand them.
One of the biggest influences on language is simply different people talking with each other. Each person has a different experience with the language and expresses ideas in slightly different ways.
For example, someone might say, "I got paid today," instead of "I was paid today." Both sentences are correct, but in recent years, the word "got" has become a more common way to say something happened.
The fact that language changes shouldn't be discouraging, though. New words are needed to describe things that didn't exist before. And it can be fun to keep up with the latest lingo.
在学习英文的过程中，有时候我们会接触到莎士比亚时代的文学作品。或许你会发现，那个时候的用语跟现在是完全不同的。因为英文是一个 living language, 活的语言。意思就是它还在发展当中，随着时空的转变，时代背景的不同，语言也会跟着转变。其实任何一种还在使用的语言都是这样子。中文也是一个 living language, 时不时的会出现一些流行语，是以前没有的。另一方面，有 living language 当然也有 dead language, 也就是已经没有在用的语言，像是拉丁文或是一些少数民族的语言，不会再有什么变化或发展了，因为已经没有人会，或是有极度少数的人还会讲一点点。这就是今天的 Info File, 我们下次语音关键。
Studio Classroom is on the air. Hey everyone, welcome back to Studio Classroom. Well, here's a little quiz for you. Who is one of the English language's most flexible writers? Did you just say Oscar Wilde? If so, you are absolutely right. Now we know that Oscar Wilde wrote 9 fairy tales. Do you remember the name of his most famous fairy tale? That's right. The Happy Prince. I'm glad it wasn't the Sad Prince. Well, friends, let's continue learning about the Happy Prince now.
The Happy Prince. The story provides an excellent choice for those who don't have time to attempt a full English novel. However, teachers should remember that the story is old. It was written in 1888, so the original language can be a challenge for some students. Fortunately, the story is now available in lots of different versions, some of which have been made simple. If you are looking for a quick but interesting way to improve your English reading, The Happy Prince might be the story for you.
All right, 接下来我们看的是 attempt 这个动词。T-E-M-P-T 这个字根有尝试的意思，所以 attempt 就是指尝试、企图或者是试图。例如 Willie attempted reconciliation with his girlfriend, but she refused. Willie 试着要和女友和好，但是女友拒绝了。Attempt 后面也可以加不定词 to 再加上原形动词。例如 Russell attempted to skip class, but he was caught by the teacher. Russell 试着要翘课，但是被老师逮到了。Attempt 也可以当名词，例如 Patrick's attempts to blend in with his classmates didn't work out. Patrick 想要融入同学们的尝试并没有成功。最后我们看的是 available 这个形容词。Available 是指可获得的或者是找得到的。 例如, my supervisor is not available now. Could you call him later? 我的上司现在不能接电话,你可以晚一点再打吗? 或者是, the band's latest album is now available on iTunes. 这个乐团的最新专辑现在在iTunes上已经可以下载了。它的名词是 availability. 例如, the availability of housing has been a problem for students at this university. 租不易一直以来都是这个学校学生伤脑筋的事情。And now let's get back to our teachers.
Now we learned something very interesting about the Happy Prince. The story provides an excellent choice for those who don't have time to attempt a full English novel. So it sounds like it could be a quick read.
Sounds like it's perfect for you, Rebecca, because you don't have time to read all of The Picture of Dorian Gray.
Well, how do you know I don't have time? I actually enjoy reading a lot.
Actually, that's very true. And you're a fast reader. You're a quick reader.
Yes, I can read quickly if I find something that interests me.
Right.
If I have to read something that's not interesting, it could take me a long time.
Yeah, I understand. So friends, if you don't like reading long books or if you feel scared to start, then don't worry. The Happy Prince might be good for you. You can attempt this one and probably get through it pretty quickly. We read here, however, teachers should remember that the story is old. It was written in 1888. So the original language can be a challenge for some students. Okay, that makes me very curious about what kind of English is in this book.
Well, let's see if our lesson tells us. Fortunately, the story is now available in lots of different versions, some of which have been made simple. So that makes me think that the original version could be actually a bit difficult.
Right, but we read here, fortunately, that reminds me of that phrase we learned earlier this month, lucky for you or lucky for us. It's now available in many different versions. Now we see these words, some of which.
Some of which. Let's talk about this phrase, some of which. Now you can use this phrase specifically with those words some or with the word some when you want to talk about how a few of something, but not all of something is a certain way.
And so you could use another word as well. You could say all of which, one of which, some of which. Okay, here are a couple examples, okay? Studio classroom, our office, is surrounded by great restaurants, some of which are delicious, all of which are pretty affordable, and one of which is open 24/7.
Which one's that?
Well, I'm not telling you right now, Rebecca. It's a really good restaurant, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I can't show up at two in the morning to go there because you're not going to tell me which restaurant it is.
If you show up at 2 a.m, you can find out which one it is because it'll be the only one open.
Yeah. Well, I think I'd rather stay sleeping. Thank you. Okay. Well, those are some great examples. Now you know how to use this phrase. There's another phrase that we want to talk about. It's at the end of the sentence. To make something simple. If something is made simple, this just means that it's easier, it's made to be easier.
Okay, so for example, if you have to give directions to somebody, please make them simple directions, okay? I know some people who don't know how to give simple or easy directions when telling someone to get from point A to point B. They make it very complicated.
Yes, and it's very difficult to find the place when the directions that are given are very complicated, when they could have been simple.
Well, fortunately, now we have GPS. Lucky for us, right?
Oh, yes. What would we do without GPS?
That makes life simple.
Much more simple. Well, we read, if you are looking for a quick but interesting way to improve your English reading, The Happy Prince might be the story for you. Now let's talk about that phrase. You can use this phrase when you want to say that something might be the very thing that someone needs.
So, for example, if you're looking for a job that uses engineering skills, then maybe being an astronaut is the job for you.
That's right. And if you really enjoyed today's lesson, Well, you know, a review skit might be just for you.
The statue of a young prince looks over a city. It is a beautiful statue covered in gold and jewels.
But things are not what they seem.
Whoa! You're alive!
Yes, this statue contains the soul of a real prince. Me.
How did you become a statue?
In life, as a prince, I was happy and carefree.
Didn't you know about the suffering around you?
No, but now as a statue, I can see how hard life really is for my people.
So now you can help them.
How can I help them? I am, after all, a statue.
How sad.
But wait, there is more to my story.
More? Well, what?
One day, I meet a tiny bird that agrees to help me.
A tiny bird?
Yes, and we make life easier for those who are less fortunate.
Wait, are you making this up?
No, actually, Oscar Wilde made it up.
Oscar Wilde? Why, he's one of English language's most famous writers.
Yes, and he wrote a short story called The Happy Prince.
Oh, and that's your story?
Yes. It's a tale of friendship and sacrifice.
Oh, well, Oscar Wilde was known for his clever wording and sharp wit.
Yes, he wrote plays, poems, a novel, and many other things.
He wrote fairy tales, too.
The Happy Prince is probably the best known of these. It is short, clear, and interesting. You should read it.
No, I don't have time to read a big book.
It's not a novel. It's a short story. It's available in different versions, some of which are quite simple.
Well,
The Happy Prince might just be the story for you.
Okay, maybe you're right. Wait. Was I just talking to a statue?
All right, Rebecca, so promise me you're going to start reading that Oscar Wilde book.
Oh, right. I already forgot about it. Thank you for reminding me. And, of course, don't forget to read The Happy Prince.
Exactly. And, friends, we have another story to talk about tomorrow right here on Studio Classroom. If you're a Star Wars fan, that lesson is for you.
So you better come back. We'll see you next time.
Right here on
Studio Classroom. Helps at all times. A friend trusts at all times. A good friend lasts a lifetime. A friend gives at all times. Cares at all times. A friend endures at all times. A good friend lasts a lifetime. I am so proud to have you in my life. A good friend lasts a lifetime.